بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Respected friends and elders, in tonight's Taraweeh Salah, the 27th juz of the Quran was recited, and many famous surahs are also in this juz, like Surah Waqi'a, Surah Rahman, Surah Najm, Surah Tur, etc. The last surah in this juz is Surah Hadid. And in Surah Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one very significant verse. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Has the time not drawn near for those who believe? أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That their hearts submit, their hearts soften for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And to the truth that has been revealed in the Qur'an. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is imploring us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers, so to say, that you are engaging and indulging in your luxuries, in your pleasures. Isn't there a limit to that? Isn't there a time when you are going to put a stop to that? أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Has the time not yet come for change in your life? And this verse, subhanAllah, became the cause for hidayat for several people in the past. Allama Qurtubi rahimahullah has mentioned this to be the cause of hidayat for two very famous ulama of the past. And others have mentioned it to be the means of hidayat for others as well. So let us ponder over the meaning of this verse and apply it to our lives. And beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us also so that we can also make that change. The two examples that Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah has mentioned is of Imam Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah, who was a great alim of his time. He was a great alim and a unique muhaddith. But prior to him changing his life and turning towards deen, according to some reports, he was a person who lived a loose life, spending his days and nights with his friends, engaging in luxuries, entertainment, and specifically music. And one day, while he was with his friends in some garden, enjoying themselves, he hears this verse, somebody reciting this verse, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. To paraphrase and to relate to our lives, isn't it enough now? Enough of pleasure, enough of leisure, enough of appeasing yourself. Hasn't the time come that for you to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your heart to submit to the remembrance of Allah and the teachings of Quran? When he hears this verse, on that occasion, mashallah, it hit his heart. And immediately he made tawbah, he broke his musical instruments, and then he went and dedicated himself to deen and the knowledge of deen. And he became a great alim of his time. The second example is of Imam Fudail bin Iyad rahimahullah, who was a great sage of his age, a very saintly person, Fudail bin Iyad rahimahullah. He too led a loose life initially. And he had a girlfriend who he liked, who he used to spend time with. And on one occasion, he himself relates, he says, on one occasion when I was ascending the stairs to go up to her apartment, I heard somebody from the neighboring apartment reciting Quran. And these words, and this ayah was being recited, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for you to make the change? And he also, mashallah, on that night, that ayah, when he heard it, it affected his heart, it struck him. And he made that change in his life and never looked back again, mashallah. Today when we take their names, we say, rahimahullah. Today we look at them with admiration. They got their hidayat when they pondered over this one verse of the Holy Quran. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us in this verse? That sometimes what happens, slowly and gradually we tend to become lax in terms of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the enticements of the dunya attract us. And we slowly start compromising on our deen and drifting further and further away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here in this verse, so to say, is warning us that don't delay too much. Before it is too late, put the brakes. Stop, reflect, introspect your life, and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ The believers and the Muslims of this ummah should not be like the Ahle Kitab, the people of the book before, the Jews and Christians. They were given the book, they were given knowledge in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had the Torah and the Injil. They had the pure and pristine deen from the sight of Allah in their particular times. But فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ Allah says, what happened? That the period became lengthy. It was over a long period of time, they began to become lax. They began to indulge in sin, disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leisures and pleasures of the dunya. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ The result of that was that their hearts became hardened. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ And many of them are sinners. What does this actually mean? This is that sometimes we get too used to the routine. The same old, same old. In dunya, respected friends and elders, you refresh. You refresh things in your life. After a while, you change your clothes, you buy new clothes. You change your car, maybe if you can afford it, etc., etc. You can't really change your wife if she gets too old. But other things of the dunya. What we refresh and spice up the life by refreshing those things. But in deen, respected friends and elders, there's no refresh. There's no replacing things. The same salah that was in the time that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and given to him as a gift on the night of Mi'raj has remained till this day. That will not change and adjust based on the time and era and age. You will not, never will a time come when the ulama-i haqq will allow you to read virtual salah. Online salah. That time will never come. Never will there come a time where your fasting in Ramadan will be some other sophisticated modern way of fasting. Never a time will it come where you'll become exempt of your zakat because of some other online method of doing it. No. It is the same thing, and that these are the a'mal Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for hidayat. This is the a'mal that will lead us to Jannah. The same for us, same for the generation before us, and same for the generations after us till the day of Qiyamah. There's no refresh button for that. But what happens sometimes, when a person indulges in leisure and pleasure of the dunya, he becomes so used to that entertainment and getting his satisfaction from that refresh all the time, something different, then he wants something different in his deen also. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ is referring to this. That too long it was, the same old thing and the same old thing. So then they wanted something new. And a different form of Islam, a different form of deen. This فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ will result and is one direct cause for the hearts becoming hard. And we discussed the one ill effect of the heart becoming hard in the Friday Bayan. That what happens when the heart is hard, then nothing penetrates it. No amount of bayan, no amount of advice, warnings, lessons on earth of disasters and catastrophes and natural disasters or war, etc., and suffering of the people, that will not affect this person because his heart has become hard. When that heart becomes hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Quran, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ Again, addressing the Ahl Kitab, addressing the same people of the book that Allah has mentioned in the verse of the 27 para. Don't be like the Ahle Kitab whose hearts became hard. Allah describes how hard their hearts became. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَ Your hearts became hard thereafter. They became like stones and rocks. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةً Rather even harder than stone. The heart becomes harder than rock. That nothing goes through it, nothing penetrates. Some mufassirun explain, what is harder than rock? Iron. The heart become as hard as iron. Nothing can go through. And if you look in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a comparison between the heart and iron. In one riwayah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, in Bayhaqi, inna hadhihi al-quluba tasda'u kama yasda'u al-hadidu bil-ma. The hearts become rusted, just as iron becomes rusted with water. This is referring to those hearts that have become hard. Some hearts are hard, but not yet as hard as stone. Some become as hard as stone and rock, and some go further than that and become as hard as iron. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, then it becomes rusty. Like when water comes onto iron, it creates that rust. With abundant indulgence in pleasures and leisures of the dunya, abundant indulgence in sin, then results in that heart becoming rusty. This is the hardness of the heart. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَفَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Those people, their hearts became hard. Allah says, you, O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let not that happen to you. Don't let it happen that your hearts become hard. Because a hard heart, فَإِنَّ الْقَلْبَ الْقَاسِي بَعِيدٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I was mentioning in the Friday Bayan, that's not the end of it all. There is still hope, definitely. But when the heart is hard, when the heart is hard, then it is absolutely difficult for that person to make change. It's difficult. And we start looking for alternatives because it's hard for him to practice on the pure deen. That heart is contaminated. He no more feels attracted to the pure deen and sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there's hope at the end of the day, because after this, in the next verse, Allah says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Remember that Allah can revive the land after its death. Meaning a land that is barren, a land on which nothing is growing, a salty marsh. Allah has the ability of reviving that land, that one day the soil becomes good. The blowing of the winds and the falling of the rain, etc., nourishes that place, and then things begin to flourish and grow. This is an example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning after mentioning the malady of the hardness of the heart. To give us hope that even if your hearts have become hardened, Allah, like He can revive that dead land, Allah can revive that dead heart. Allah can soften that heart. Allah can bring about the change in your life. But we too must want that, respected friends and elders. We must want that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. We must want that life of hidayat and sunnah and closeness to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that hadith of Bayhaqi Sharif, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was describing the condition of the hardened hearts, that sometimes they become rusty. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, wa ma jila'uha? What will cleanse it? What will remove the rust? And if you're relating it to the topic today, what will soften that heart? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned two treatments. Two treatments for a person who feels that his heart has now become hard. He feels that he is more inclined towards the disobedience of Allah than the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can feel in his life that he knows he is doing wrong. And he hears that it is wrong, he understands it's wrong, but he can't stop himself. That is because his heart is filled with that inclination towards sin and is becoming harder and harder. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives us the antidote for that, the treatment for that. He says, كَثْرَةُ ذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ, abundantly remembering death, وَتِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ, and reciting the Qur'an. These two things will help you to cleanse your heart, to remove the rust, and so to say, inshallah, soften the heart. To ponder over death is absolutely beneficial. Ulama centuries ago mentioned that this pondering and muraqabah of maut is considered to be al-wa'idhu s-samit. Al-wa'idhu s-samit. The silent admonisher, the silent advisor. In other words, a person takes out time and he sits in a corner, closes his eyes and he ponders over maut. What must he ponder over? Think that your life has come to an end. Ponder that now, for example, I died. What would happen thereafter? Go through the stages and the phases of what follows after a man's death. Apply it to yourself. And then weigh up your situation and see, where are you? What really will happen to me if I have to die right now? That is al-wa'idhu s-samit, and has proven beneficial throughout the centuries for people to take heed and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person genuinely engages in muraqabah-e-maut, Many of the mashayikh in the khanqahs, during i'tikaf sometimes, they practice this with their murids and the disciples and the congregation, that sit and make muraqabah of maut. Why? This will soften the heart, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Wa tilawatul Qur'an, and reciting Qur'an. We in the month of Qur'an. If in Ramadan also a person could not take out time to read Qur'an, then on which other month in the year is he really going to turn and open the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The month in which Allah has revealed Qur'an, the month in which people around us are reading so much of Qur'an, in the month in which the environment is created for Qur'an. Let us take out the time and recite Qur'an in this month of Ramadan, in the remaining days, and continuing thereafter for the rest of our lives. Qur'an is a shifa for every malady. Included in that malady is the malady of the hardened heart. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, reciting Qur'an will soften that heart. In one riwayah of Musnad Ahmad, a sahabi mentions one Arabi had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Bedouin, and he complained, O Nabi of Allah, I find that my heart has become hard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises him, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ يَلِينَ قَلْبُكَ, if you want your heart to become soft, فَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ وَمْسَحْ بِرَأْسِ الْمِسْكِينَ وَمْسَحْ بِرَأْسِ الْيَتِيمِ, then do two things. Feed the needy, feed the poor people, and pass your hand over the head of a yatim. This doesn't only mean feeding from afar. That mashallah, there are some organizations, there are some masajid that are, you know, doing feeding schemes. So we contribute and we donate, alhamdulillah. And we don't get to see those fuqara, we don't meet with them, we don't interact with them. Then that we will get the reward. The reward of feeding the miskeen we will get because we donated towards it. But this effect of softening the heart, the effect that will come and bring about change in our lives spiritually, will come when we engage in this physically. فَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ, feed the poor, meaning yourself. Be there on the ground. And go and do it yourself. Ask those who have went to areas of disaster. Ask those who have went to areas of disaster, whether it be in our country when we had the floods, or when there was drought in certain parts in Eastern Cape and other places. They went themselves and they distributed water, they distributed aid. The feeling is different. It touches the heart. And compare that to when we sponsor and we donate. Inshallah, we will generate reward. But that effect on the heart is not going to be there. So, فَأَطْعِمِ الْمِسْكِينَ, feed the poor by physically engaging and being there on the ground. وَمْسَحْ بِرَأْسِ الْيَتِيمِ, and pass your hand over the head of the yatim. Doesn't only mean passing your hand over. That is a gesture in which we take pity on the yatim. If you are really taking pity on the yatim, then instead of passing your hand over him, pass some good also over him. Do some generosity towards that yatim. Care for that yatim. Adopt that yatim. Take on the responsibility of the expenses of that yatim. Develop a relationship. You are sponsoring an orphan. Go and visit that orphanage from time to time. Go and visit that orphan in whichever home he is. And spend that time and take pity on that yatim. Then the effect will come and that heart will soften. These are remedies Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is prescribing for us for a disease that has permeated our entire societies. Let us look in our lives, me myself included first. Is my heart really soft? When I listen to advice, when I listen to a hadith, when I listen to a warning in Quran and hadith, do I really take heed? What wrong is there in life that we don't know to be wrong? What sin we don't identify as sin? We are fully aware. We are fully aware of the sins and what constitutes the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What command of Allah that we are unaware of? Alhamdulillah, there is no shortage of ta'aleem and ta'allum, learning and teaching and advising and bayans and lectures, etc. in our societies. So we know it all. But is it really affecting my practical life? If not, then it could be that my heart has also become hardened. My heart has also become darkened because of sin. My heart has also become rusty because of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a widespread malady. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in light of these two ahadith, has given us four treatments for it. To ponder over death. And we have many occasions to ponder. We are reminded day in and day out. So many near and dear ones, so many people who we know are now leaving the dunya. And it is a forewarning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that as we get closer to Qiyamah, the number of deaths will increase. Today also there's a janazah at 10:30, which will replace our later program. But janazahs, when we hear the news of a janazah, together with all the other duties that we have towards the mayyit, one duty we have to ourselves is to ponder over our condition. Ponder over what will happen to us when we reach that stage. The second treatment Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave was to recite the Quran, which is a treatment for every malady. Number three was to feed physically yourself the miskeen and interact with the miskeen. Number four, take pity and adopt and care for a yatim. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah was asked that what will soften a person's heart. He says he must ensure that his earnings are halal and what he is consuming is halal. This will soften the heart. In other words, being lax with regards to our income and what we consume contributes to the hardening of the heart. So to keep a check on our income and what we are consuming and ensuring that it is halal and tayyib and pure, this will also assist in softening the heart. Then inshallah we will find that change, that we are sitting in a bayan. We heard that lecture and then it took effect on us. It took lasting effect. It had a lasting effect on us. That will be when the heart is ready to receive that admonition. And fifthly, respected friends and elders, or sixthly, the sixth advice ulama normally give is for us to spend time in the company of the pious. Spend time in the company of those whose hearts are clean. Spend time in the company of those whose hearts are softened. And inshallah you will be affected and you will be inspired by that as well. These are six different treatments in light of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the advices of the ulama to treat a hardened heart. And number seven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same verses that we were discussing tonight, who speaks about the hard heart, and thereafter Allah mentions He will revive that dead land. Similarly, Allah can revive our dead hearts and our hardened hearts. The next verse after that, the third verse now that follows, speaks about charity and sadaqah. إِنَّ الْمُصَّدِّقِينَ وَالْمُصَّدِّقَاتِ وَأَقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Allah is speaking about charity and abundant charity. For a person to give abundant charity, Allah is speaking about this good after discussing the malady of a hardened heart, after discussing the disease of having a dead heart, after giving us hope that even if the heart is dead, like when the land is dead and barren, Allah can revive it. Similarly, Allah can revive your heart. And the very next verse, Allah speaks about sadaqah and charity. We should develop the habit that not only in the month of Ramadan, in Ramadan our charity should increase, but throughout the year, all the time, we should have this habit of giving sadaqah. We should have a habit of giving sadaqah daily. Every day give sadaqah and look at the needs of the poor and attend to the poor. Sadaqah on one hand, we should the binding and wajib zakat. Zakat is binding on us. We have no choice when it comes to our zakat. 2.5% of our wealth annually we have to give and part with that to cleanse our wealth. And to care for the fuqara and the poor and needy. But over and above that, our nafil sadaqah, which we refer to as lillah, which we refer to as general sadaqah, that also should increase in the month of Ramadan and throughout the year. Innal musaddiqeena wal musaddiqat wa aqradu Allah qardan hasana. Those who give Allah a loan. See how nicely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts it to us, that if you're giving sadaqah, then don't consider it your favor to that poor man. Don't consider it your favor to that faqir and that miskeen. No, consider this a loan you are giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَقْرَضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. You are giving Allah a qardi hasana, a good loan. فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply it manifold. Minimum we will get back times 10 in reward from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, even physically in our wealth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us increase. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. When it comes to riba and interest, it may seem like the numbers are increasing and inflating, but in the meanwhile, at the end of the day, this person will end up in poverty. Allah will destroy the effects of riba. وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. And Allah grows the sadaqah. The more sadaqah you will give, the more you will see barakah in your wealth. The more Allah will give you increase, inshallah, in your wealth, in contentment of your heart, inshallah. And you will not feel the need all the time to keep earning and earning and earning. That greed also will decrease in your heart through the barakah of sadaqah, together with so many other benefits of sadaqah, which is a completely separate discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of pondering over this verse. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That has the time not come now for us, for our hearts, to submit to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commands of Allah that were revealed in Quran. Ponder over this. Ponder over the state of our lives and our hearts. And Allah give us tawfiq to implement these treatments that Allah, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ulama have prescribed for this malady of the hardened heart. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts, and Allah to prepare, make our hearts such that they are prepared to accept admonition and prepared to accept the advices that we listen to, the warnings in Quran and Hadith, and prepared to take heed and make that change, inshallah, and lasting change in our life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.